Well, I'm upsetting an awful lot of Donald Trump supporters. One person in particular tweeting to say that I shouldn't use the term stupid about voters. I was using it in the context of something Donald Trump actually said about American voters, just to be clear. How stupid is this country, he said. You're also saying, this from Peter, saying, good question. My question being, how does Donald Trump keep getting away with it? As is, how does Hillary Clinton keep getting away with it, says Peter. Well, we've done that. If you think back to the emails and the Federal Bureau of Investigations and the State Department hearings, we've done that at length. And we report frequently that she's still got a problem when it comes to those emails and other things. Nearly 15,000 of her messages and documents from her time at the State Department were not handed over. Many more were deleted. She clearly has a problem with trust with the American people, and she knows that she does, and it's something that is hampering her campaign. That is a separate story to the one I want to talk about today, which is the language and the actions of Donald Trump. If you support him, if you think he's great, if you think you could vote for him, ring me and tell me why all of those things that bother me shouldn't bother me. 0345 6060973 is the number you can text. 84850 or tweet at LBC. Before I get to your calls, which I will in just one sec, Simon Marks joins us, LBC's US correspondent. Hi, Simon.
Hello, Sheila.
What's your best guess as to how he keeps getting away with it?
Well, he almost doesn't keep getting away with it. I mean, that's the extraordinary thing. He gets away with it by the skin of his teeth, and there are more challenges ahead. I mean, Donald Trump put in a much more self-assured performance here. I'm still at Washington University, where the debate took place last night. He put in a much more self-assured performance here last night than he did during the first debate. There's no question that his performance was vastly improved over the performance that we saw up in New York. But the content, the talk, tawdry, unseemly nature of this discussion, a race to the bottom, it's being described as here, was really the only place intellectually that he felt that he could go. He needed to drag up Bill Clinton's history, Hillary Clinton's treatment of the women who accused Bill Clinton, because let's be honest, over the weekend, his presidential campaign was nearly destroyed by the very party that he claims to represent. And while he may be out of the short-term woods, he may only be in a very brief clearing, because later today, back up in Washington, there are two separate meetings that are going to take place, not of Donald Trump detractors, but of Republicans, people in the same party that he is supposed to be leading this November. Republicans in the House of Representatives are going to get on a conference call and decide if they can continue supporting his candidacy, with reports now that the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the most powerful elected Republican in Washington, is considering withdrawing his endorsement of Donald Trump. That's Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Then later in the day, the Republican National Committee, that's the party, will be holding a call to discuss whether they can continue providing Donald Trump with financial support for his presidential bid. So there's a massive schism within the Republican Party. Donald Trump and his band of, as Rudy Giuliani described them over the weekend, outsiders, now absolutely taking on the insiders.
Would you say that further rejection by the likes of Paul Ryan is more damaging to his electoral chances? Because, you know, that's Washington, but the wider electorate. Is that more damaging to his electoral chances than more revelations of a sexual nature, for example, which I read are in the offing?
I think it's all damaging, and I'm sure there will be more revelations. There's all sorts of rumors about more tape that's out there that could be made public at some point between now and November the 8th. Look, these presidential candidates, both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, at this very late stage of the presidential race, do not just need to preach to the choir. At this point in presidential politics, it's not just about making sure that your core bedrock supporters are still with you, and Donald Trump's absolutely are still with him. It's about reaching out to undecided voters in the all-important swing states, places like Florida, places like Pennsylvania, where Hillary Clinton, even before the release of that videotape on Friday, had edged into a lead over Donald Trump. You have to grow your support at this point. You don't have to be losing supporters. Just think back to 2012. Mitt Romney lost to Barack Obama. In order to win, Donald Trump has to secure the backing of every single Mitt Romney voter, and then more of them. And he's not even able to secure the continued backing of many Republican senators and congressmen. That's a massive problem for him.
Just a word on his behaviour on the stage last night, or the sentiment. Our own Nigel Farage here in the UK described him as being like a silverback dominating her. And when you look at various bits of the footage, yes, he does kind of loom in the background like a scary man in a park, basically, which is essentially what he is in my eyes. I mean, that was clearly a tactic, and she knew that it was. And yet she, you know, with all of that political history that she has going right back to college days, she played it by the book and went back to her stool when he was talking and all the rest of it. But he tried to loom large no matter what, didn't he?
There was one point during the debate last night when I almost wondered whether Hillary Clinton's Secret Service protection detail was going to intervene as he sort of loomed behind her and stood there almost, it's not fair to use the word stalking, but certainly standing very, very clearly behind her and making his presence felt. I mean, there were some deeply, deeply uncomfortable moments during the debate and deeply uncomfortable moments for her as well. I mean, you could see the visible fury on her face as she tried to keep her temper under control. I'm told by people close to Hillary Clinton that she's got a very fiery temper, and they've been worried that he was going to get under her skin and that she would at some point lose it publicly during the course of this campaign. But she also had some tough questions at the hands of the moderators, not just about her email issues, but also about the revelation that in speeches to bankers she boasted of taking a public position on some issues, but also a private position that would often trump the public position. So she had some tough times on that debate floor as well last night. But optically, I think it will be remembered for the absence of the handshake at the beginning. And then at the end, the two of them really kind of walking very carefully around one another, largely to avoid each other and to keep their respective families at a distance from one another. You know, it was reported here this morning that Donald Trump was thinking of putting the three women that accused Bill Clinton of having abused them in the family box so that they would have been sitting right next to Bill Clinton and Chelsea. Saner heads in the Trump campaign apparently prevailed, but, you know, for Hillary Clinton to walk into that room knowing that those women were there, that must have put enormous psychological pressure on her.
Simon, thank you. Simon Marks, LBC's US correspondent.